Hi, everyone. So welcome back to the Health Synergy podcast. I'm still with Laura today.
Hello, hello.
And we're going to talk to you about something a little bit different today. We're going to talk about 10 things that would have changed our life if we knew it earlier. So let's crack on.
Welcome to the Health Synergy podcast.
The perfect place to learn everything about building and scaling your business online.
I'm Laura Haylitz.
And I'm Jenny Fears. We went from being on furlough from our corporate jobs to building a multiple six-figure business in our first year of business. All that with the power of Instagram and no-fluff business strategies.
But hey, you can do this too. On this podcast, we share the behind the scenes of growing an online empire, reaching new heights, and how you can juggle it all. You know, we're on furlough. We don't want to put all our eggs in one basket. Let's start a side hustle and see where it takes us. And yeah, it turns out that that was actually a lot more stable and a lot more profitable.
You've got to take risk, take them early, because the more you wait, the harder it is going to be to take those risks.
Could have changed our life a lot earlier.
It's not going to make you rich.
If you don't stop, you can't fail. So Ginny wrote the whole list. And we're going to go through them. And I feel like the first one, she almost wrote it for me. I feel like it's like she had me in mind. It says, stop buying dumb shit you see on Instagram and start investing in yourself. So why do I feel like you're talking to me?
Oh my God. You know what? I think you got better. But when I met Laura, she was the worst. I'd like, oh, so that on Instagram, I'm going to buy it. But like, she would just buy anything and believe anything, you know. So yeah, the things are, oh my God, I don't know how you're gonna feel about this.
I get like, basically, okay, I love marketing. I'm definitely a marketing person, but I get marketed to so easily. Like, I love marketing that much that I am like a victim of marketing. So, yeah, I bought a lot of random shit on Instagram.
You bought that thing for your how do you call it, how do you fucking call that place?
It's like silicon sort of
sticky, that you put on your forehead.
Yeah, stickers that you put on your forehead to not get wrinkles. You know, to be honest, Ginny, I found some friends that buy like frownies, and it's very similar. So I actually, like, this is where you know that my friends are like me. They also buy that shit.
My friend would never. We have very different friends.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's yeah. I mean, I saw her with that. No, but you know, Ginny, it really has those women. I was like, Laura, what did you buy?
And then I was sitting in the call and I had literally like plastic silicone tape on my face. And then Ginny was like, okay, hi.
Oh, so yeah, it's a lot of things like that. But overall,
Start investing in yourself is super important.
It's really stopping, you know, like, even I personally love fashion. So, you know, Laura, I get by a lot of dumb shit that she sees on Instagram, but I'm the victim of, I get influenced a lot. Like, influencers influence me.
Yeah,
big time. So I saw something cute on the influencer. I want it. Yeah. So I would get influenced a lot on fashion and buy way too many clothes and stuff like that. And you know, it's fine when you have the money and the means for it and stuff like that, even though they're still at a point where, you know, there's so many clothes that you can wear, especially when you work from home. Yeah. I have all these nice clothes that I can't wear because I'm not going anywhere.
So, you know? Okay, yesterday I saw a meme and it's like, okay, I'm really into horoscopes, and it says like, we're just going to do something chill in the evening to meet up. And then they show like dolls that are completely dressed up, and then the star sign is with it, or like horoscope is with it. And it says like Aries, Leo. So Ginny's an Aries, I'm a Leo, and they're like super dressed up even though we're doing something chill. That's Ginny and me when we go to Paris, because we buy clothes, we work from home, we never get to dress up. So we're like, this is the moment. Like, you know, I don't care if we're gonna picnic in the woods, like, we are gonna dress up.
No, but I'm at the point where I have a psychologist, and we can talk about this in a moment, but yes, I'm going to see my psychologist tonight, and for me it's like, oh, what I'm gonna wear. So my boyfriend is like, is he hot? I'm like, not even. So it's not even like I want to be look good for my psychologist. It's more like, hey, I'm going somewhere. I can actually dress, because like, Laura has a much more social life than I have. First of all, I'm not from England, and you know, I don't have a shit ton of friends in England, and plus I'm just not a very social person, so I don't go to a lot of places. So even going to my psychologist is like an event, and I finally wear my nice clothes. But yeah, anyway, all that to say, you know, stop being influenced, stop being marketed, like, think twice before buying something, think twice before doing these things, because instead of putting, you know, I don't know, $50 into jumper from Zara, maybe put that $50 on the side and buy yourself a course in a few months, something like that. It's just going to, or even like a book or something like that, that's going to help your self-development or learn more about marketing and social media or something like that.
Yeah, it's so important because people think that tangible things are sometimes more worth it, but I can assure you that the best investments that both Jean and myself made are definitely the ones that we made into our own development, into the business. And sometimes there were tools as well, but definitely the stuff that brought us further in our business.
Oh, you know, even it could be like an assistant to help you.
A VA or
a cleaner for your house, you know, all these things. I was like, okay, it's either, you know, I spend more time cleaning my house or I actually, you know, pay someone to do it and I find, you know, 2-3 hours back per week. And I'd rather skip on those 2 jumpers from Zara that cost me, you know, the price of a cleaner and have those 2-3 hours back per week where I can actually invest in my education and stuff like that. Invest this time, I mean, in this education. So sometimes also investing, you know, in time as well.
Okay, the second one is don't think that having a 9-to-5 is being safe. I think Ginny, you're the best one to talk about this.
I really want to talk about this so much. It's such, like, I should talk more about this one because I, you know, and you probably hear it a lot. Oh, you're gonna open a business, that's not safe. Or like, you know, when you tell people that you're going on your own, people really look at you, wow, this is brave, or wow, you know, this kind of things. I even saw a LinkedIn post lately saying that not everyone can be a business owner, which I agree, but it was kind of blaming the fact that we make it look easy, that, you know, actually it's easier to working for someone because you have a steady paycheck and all of these things and you don't have to worry about the money coming in, which to a certain extent, okay, fair enough. But also, you know, I was in a very well-paid marketing job that I really liked. I mean, really liked. Again, I didn't like corporate, but I liked the actual work of it. I felt safe. I felt fine. I wasn't really fulfilled because I know that my purpose was to actually have my own business and my own thing. But to a certain extent, I was fairly happy and fine and whatever. And then I got fired. I mean, how do you call it? Being made redundant, which if you're not in the UK, I don't even know if it's an American term. I'm not sure.
I didn't know it until you told
me. Yeah. So made redundant means it's basically a nice way. It's kind of an excuse in England to push you out. I mean, it's not an excuse to push you out, but it's more the company I was working for bought another company and we were kind of like 2 for the job. Well, they were thinking that one person could do 2 jobs, which, you know, companies tend to think like that way, which was a bit mental. But yeah, basically from, you know, they were happy with me. They were happy with the way I worked, but they still were like, okay, well, you're out because you're the person that's been in the business for 20 years. You've only been there for 4 years. So between you and him, it's you, you know, and it's like, bye, thank you. And, you know, you only have 1 month to find another job. And, you know, in France, we have much more security around jobs and you can't really fire people like that. And you can't really, you know, like we have also employment benefits, which you barely have that in England. It's very, very low. And again, it's not a debate on this, but it's just to show you that, you know, you could lose also your job. You could, you know, it's not much safer to be a 9-to-5, and it's not to scare you or anything like this, but I always thought, oh, I was safe in my 9-to-5. I didn't really have that much savings because I had a huge loan for my studies. And I was like, fuck, this is really bad, you know? Turns out I stayed in this company because I made myself a job. I was like, okay, you know what? You need someone in social media. I'm good at social media. Hire me as a social media person. And they did. And that's how things started, really. But yeah, it's just to tell you that, you know, having a 9-to-5 is not much safer than actually building your own business. And you know, there's pros and cons in both. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, at least in a business, you're also the one calling the shots, because I actually literally this weekend, my friends, I have quite a few friends are thinking of, like, you know, becoming self-employed at some point. And one of my friends was like, yeah, but I don't think I could ever deal with the stress and the insecurity and all of that. And I was like, yeah, I get it on the one hand. Like, I'm not going to lie. Of course, having a business is different and it feels uncomfortable at first from that kind of view, but at least you're in charge and you're the one calling the shots. Like in my story, for example, like I also got put on furlough, you know, in lockdown. And I, you know, that's not something I could ever even decide on. Like that was completely out of my hands. And who knows if they would have kept me in the long term. I mean, I know for a fact they would have, because it was a job they weren't going to like scratch, but there were a lot of people that actually lost their jobs. Right. And they, they suddenly, you know, I saw people getting fired after 40 years in a company. They're close to their retirement age and then they get fired because of, you know, lockdown, COVID and everything. And then, yeah, good luck finding a job, you know? So yeah, I don't think there's ever like this safe place. I've even seen, you know, very close to my home as well. It doesn't always mean because you do your job well that that you can, if a company gets like bought or merged or...
It's like, you know, there's also bad companies for that, right? It's like, they don't really realize how valuable you are. They don't really value enough and you can be out. Like, you know what I mean? A company is always going to prioritize themselves first before the employee. And yeah, so maybe sometimes, which probably brings us to the next point, have all the sources of income than your 9 to 5 as early as possible. And I think that's what really struck me when that happened, right? I was devastated. And, you know, then, you know, we had a chat and I got, I mean, that's all that was in 2-3 months, right? It didn't happen overnight. But yeah, eventually I got a job as a social media manager, more like a digital marketing manager, whatever. And I was like, you know what? That's it. I'm never relying just on that income, because I was, you know, when you get comfortable, right? That was well paid. It was not crazy, but I was well paid. You had my car. That was a nice car. You know, it's a nice house and we're investing in stuff in the house and stuff. And then you have a certain level of income. And so then I was like, yeah, but if I don't have a job, I can't afford all of these things, you know? And yeah, basically it was really what made me think, okay, I need to have something else than just this job. I need to, even if it's not going to be a whole full-time business, I need to have something on the side. I have enough time in my hands because I don't have kids or anything like that, no commitments. So if you have not as much commitments, and if you don't try to find some time to, you know, have something else on the side, don't put all your eggs in one basket. And that's what's for everything really. But yeah, that's really what made me think, okay, I'm going to start doing some freelancing on the side. I'm going to start putting myself out there. 6 months later, I was creating my Instagram. And you know, a year later, this bad episode, I was actually quitting my job. And like, you know what? This time, I'm the one quitting. You're not the one firing me. And I was out of the door. So yeah.
Yeah, I think for both of us, when we started our business, it was never, well, maybe for Ginny a bit more than for me, but at least for me, it wasn't, I'm going to start this business to quit my job. It was more like, well, you know, we're on furlough. We don't want to put all our eggs in one basket. Let's start a side hustle and see where it takes us. And yeah, it turns out that was actually a lot more stable and a lot more profitable. And you know, that all kind of came out of that. But it really did start of, okay, how can we have different sources of income and make sure that we use that time wisely?
I think it's a case for a lot of people with, can I even say it? The C word, COVID.
I said like, you know, so like, imagine they now start censoring that. Spotify puts like a weird link, like on Instagram stories they put like information shizzle all over
right? Like, I don't know. So anyway, I think it made a lot of people realize that everything can go bust, you know, overnight, and actually not putting all your eggs in one basket and having all the sources of income, it's a good thing. So yeah.
Okay, the next thing on our list is dedicate 1 hour per day to your self-development instead of scrolling on Instagram. I think this is so important. I think Ginny and myself, this is something that we've always been quite good at, right? Like even in corporate, like to always have side projects and be almost, I would say, obsessed with our personal development. But I think this is something that does change your life. It makes you better in, let's say, your job. If you do want to stay in a job, it makes you probably a better entrepreneur later down the line. It helps you stay on top of, let's say, trends or anything like that.
Or even a better person, right?
Yeah, totally. Like, because you talked about before, like both Ginny and myself go to the psychologist, and I think this is so important. Like for me, that's a personal development sort of thing. I don't see it as in like, oh my God, I have issues. It's more like, no, I want to work on myself. I want to be a better person. I want to have these difficult conversations and learn to deal with my emotions better, struggles better, life better. And I think that's so important. And I think especially as an entrepreneur, it's really difficult to be on this journey if you're not going to be, I would say, almost a little obsessed with your personal development from a mental health point of view, definitely also from a, you know, business point of view, but also even from a physical point of view, keeping your body in, you know, the right shape. Like, I'm not saying we all need to like diet and work out 5 times a week, but you do want to find ways that you can stay, you know, in physical good shape as well, and take a break and have a bit of rest and give your brain a break and stuff, because it's hard to set boundaries when you're on your own boss. Technically, you could work day and night if you want to, and you could work 7 days a week, but how do you then put those, you know, boundaries in place as well and still have a moment to just kind of like work on yourself on different levels?
Yeah, I think, but yeah, I think it's very easy as well to just crawl on this. Oh, and I'm so guilty of this. You know what I mean? It's not like, TikTok. I'm like, oh yeah, I can, yeah. I mean, if you listen to the podcast, you know, I'm a TikTok addict. But like, I think it's a proper because I can't stop. I literally had to delete the app, you know, like it's not on my home screen. Otherwise it's worse. Sometimes I have to be like, no, you don't look for the, you know, I get it. And in a way, you know, I still learn a lot for TikTok. There's still a lot of things I'm like, oh, that's interesting. You know, I love, for example, science stuff and stuff like that. But there's also a lot of shit that I'm laughing at dogs and cats and and it's really addictive. It's like, oh, more laughing, more joking. You know, it's my dose of dopamine. And I think a lot of people can relate to this. It's very addictive. You know, social media is very addictive. And sometimes it's actually snapping out of it because it's really hard. You know, you spend your day working and, you know, you feel drained. And if you have some commuting on top of it, it's just, you feel really brain dead. And then the best thing, like the easiest thing for me to do is, and Laura, I know you relate to this, but it's like either watching a stupid series or, you know, scrolling on TikTok or on Instagram or on Reels or whatever. And it's really, you know, instead of this, maybe take that break. You know, if you need it for your mental health, you know, scroll for an hour. But then if you have another hour free, just take that time and, you know, read a book, watch an online course, watch YouTube, listen to a podcast. Well, I mean, if you're here, it's probably because you're actually taking that time for self-development as well, because you're learning from me. But yeah, keep doing that every day for 1 hour per day. Something that I do as well is, for example, I try pretty much every night to not do any social media or any screen after 9 p.m. or 9:30 p.m. So then I have 1 hour to just read a book because it helps me a lot. So, and yeah, trying to make this book quite more like around self-development and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that, which now point number 5 is take risk and take them early. So what we mean by that is, you know, don't be afraid to go for it, as simple as that. And try to do it as early as possible. So if you're in your early 20s, now is the time, because once you, I don't know, 30s, mid 30s, or whenever you want to, I don't know, have kids, or even when you, you know, I was in my, I was 31 when I quit my job. And even then it's like, okay, it's a bit scary because I have a well-paid job because I've been in this game for a while, you know, so my pay is obviously higher than when I was in my early 20s. So it's always a little bit trickier to, you know, quit a job when you have a nice, decent job, you know, than it is when you are 20 years old, just got out of uni or high school or whatever, and you can actually put yourself out there and you know, even quit your job if you have to and take, like, I don't know, a barista job on the side and stuff like that. Oh my God, it sounds like I'm just telling people to quit their job and just take like a coffee barista thing. But no, I mean, you know, whatever you want to do. But I'm just saying, if you gotta take risk, take them early, because the more you wait, the harder it is going to be to take those risks.
Yeah, definitely. It's funny because I remember that I actually, and I know it's the same for you, Ginny, that you also wanted to start your business straight out of uni or, you know, very young age. And
yeah,
I think we're just the example of, like, we also literally, it took a global pandemic for us to build a business. Yeah. If you think about it, like, we had to be pushed that much, put on furlough, have a global pandemic, be in lockdown at home for us to be like, oh, you know what? I'll finally listen to my passion, which is, we're both entrepreneurial, start a business. And, you know, in that sense, it might come across a bit of a, you know, hypocritical thing for us to now say that. But so this is why it's things that we wish we knew earlier, because it could have changed our life a lot earlier. And I think both Ginny and myself are very grateful for the experience we had, both academically speaking and corporate speaking. But at the end of the day, we still had to figure out so much on the job anyway. Like there's so much that we learned through, you know, building this business and our experience as well. So, you know, keep in mind that you're never gonna be ready. It's not like, hey, when I'm 40, I'm suddenly ready to start that business because I need, I don't know, 15 years experience. No, definitely not. I feel like for me, for example, I worked 2 years in startup, 2 years in corporate. That's plenty. Like I felt like I had the experiences I needed to have. I knew what was out there. I, you know, I feel like I understood what I needed to know about marketing. And then of course it still took a lot of self-development to get better at it. You know, going out of my way to indeed take online courses, listen to podcasts. I was going to say read books, but we both know I don't read books. I listen to podcasts.
Oh my God. We have to say this, Laura. Laura bought, like I recommended her a lot of books and she bought them all.
Yeah, because I'm that kind of person. I buy stuff. You tell me what to buy, I buy it.
But she hasn't read them. So now she has all these nice books on the shelf, but she didn't read them.
And this morning, it was so funny. We had a team call. And so actually last week, Friday, okay, it's the whole behind the scenes of our life. Last week, Friday, we had a creative huddle day. So that's the day, it's the last Friday of the month. That we basically give the team, I'm not going to say off because it is a work day, but they get time to be creative and to get inspired. So to really work on their own personal development. So basically on, you know, today we had our team call, we were reviewing the creative huddle day. We were like, okay, so, you know, Bethan, what did you learn on your creative huddle day? Victoria, what did you learn? What was interesting? And so we're picking in on that and giving like extra references or courses or books that they can read. And so Ginny goes in and she's like, Victoria, you need to read this book. And meanwhile, I'm there in the meeting and I have my bookshelf in front of me and all those books are literally standing there in front of me and she's like recommending them. And I'm like, oh, Victoria, I can give you the book if you want. I have it here. I haven't read any of them. Like they've been sitting there for 2 years on the bookshelf, haven't read them. So yeah, I think
I mean, you know, it's really not that big. I really enjoy reading and, you know, I like it that way, but also love learning for YouTube. So it's fine if, you know, if reading is not your thing, like don't force yourself. You know what I mean? Is there so many other ways to learn? And Laura's not a failure because she doesn't like to read, you know?
Exactly.
I think we make it such a big deal that people should read and like read a book. You need to read 100 books a year. And I'm like, no,
your
fucking
morning routine. And
that's another thing as well that I want to share actually is I, you know, when you look at self-development and being an entrepreneur, yeah, on all entrepreneurs read that many books. I'm like, yeah, cool. I can also read 100 books a year. How much do you remember of those books? How much did you apply of those books?
Yeah.
At some point I was like, hang on a minute. I read so many books. I don't even remember those books. So I stopped. I took some books that I really enjoyed, read them back. And you know what I actually do? I prefer reading on actual paper, so an actual physical book. But I find it so much easier to go back on your Kindle because on Kindle, you can also highlight stuff. I mean, I actually have the app on my phone and I really like it. And you can highlight stuff. You can go back to all your highlighted stuff. And I find it so cool that now I buy the book physically. And if I really liked it, I buy the Kindle book because it's not that expensive. Usually it's around £5 or something like that. And like this, I highlight all the things that I enjoy that I think are interesting, that I think I should apply. And it's much easier that way. So, you know, it could also be that. But what I mean is apply the knowledge. It's not just a question of like, oh, I'm going to read so many books or watch so many YouTube videos or buy all these courses and not applying them. Mm-hmm. Most of the time you have enough in your hands. You just need to apply it as well. So take the time to actually apply what you learn.
Yeah. And a last thing that I want to talk about, in case you're someone listening and you're not a big reader like me, don't underestimate how much you can learn from the people you surround yourself with. And that means, you know, listening to podcasts, yes, but it could also mean going to networking events or meeting certain people to you know, exchange with, because that is something that I actually have done from a very young age. I've always surrounded myself with a lot of inspirational leaders and entrepreneurs and also in corporates. And I've learned so much from these people. So, you know, and that was for me the best way to learn, like through a conversation, being able to ask questions and so forth. And of course, if you don't have that opportunity to network as much, but I'm sure if you really want to, there's always ways to network.
Yeah.
But if you don't have that opportunity for whatever reason, that still means waking up and listening to an audiobook or a podcast of that one person that you're really inspired by and listening to that person as if you're with them in the room. They always say that you're, what is it, the products of the 5 or 10 people that you hang out with, but those people could also be an audiobook that you always listen to and that kind of stuff. So I think it's important to also think of the real life stuff as well, not just, you know, the business stuff, like buying a book or being in a course. It could literally also be sitting on a train next to a business person and striking up a conversation. I did that a lot. And I can assure you, I learned a lot from those experiences as well.
Yeah, if you're more an extrovert, you can also do these kind of things. I mean, even as a more introvert, I wouldn't say I'm an introvert, but I'm definitely in between. But even I learned a lot from a director that was at the company I was working for. And, you know, I asked him for his time, you know, I was like, hey, do you actually have half an hour to explain me something? And he taught me so much in that one. Like, if that person is good, they can teach you so much and give you so many haha moments in that half an hour than you would have to learn 10 hours or listen 10 hours on the podcast or whatever. So it's about finding that, you know, it could be that one creator as well. It's like, you don't need to listen to 100 creators. Pick a few that you really enjoy and like learn from these people. I only have like maybe 2, 3, 4 different creators that I really like and really enjoy. And that's just those 5 people or 4 people that I'm listening to. So it's also about not necessarily the quantity, but the quality of what you do.
Yeah, definitely. And if you get the chance to network with people, be mindful of also asking questions and listening. Because I know a lot of people are, when they're in the room with someone that's intelligent, they're so like focused on sometimes maybe impressing someone and they're talking a lot and talking and talking. I'm extremely extrovert. I'm extremely social. But when I'm not the smartest person in the room, I usually tend to shut up and listen. And that's when you learn the most. And also being curious and really listening and digging deeper into something. Anyway, that's something that I know for a fact that I've had to learn as well and that made a big difference. Okay, we still have quite a few to go through.
So a degree doesn't mean anything. Point number six. Yeah, I mean, I'm not anti-degree, but let's say I'm more and more anti-degree. I was actually moaning about this in a voice message to Laura earlier.
Morning. She said that she's not sure if she wants her kids to go to school for the
regular degree. You know, to school,
but like,
and actually I'm thinking about homeschooling them as well. I mean, I don't even have kids, so I'm not even pregnant. I'm already thinking about, I just think the system is not made to help you be an entrepreneur, or even if you don't want to be an entrepreneur, to just be the best version of yourself and just learn the best way possible. And you know, there's so little that I remember of, especially my business school that I pay a lot of money for, because that's what all, you know, in France, people were looking for that business degree and marketing degree in business and from a business school and stuff like that. So I did that and I paid for my degree, but do I remember that many things? No, not really, you know. Did I make much out of it? No, I just had the degree, which allowed me to get that job. But during those 3 years, because I did a bachelor in psychology for three years, which I learned a lot and I remember a lot. So I almost think that, you know, they can teach you a lot in terms of education and knowledge. Now uni, I think, is lacking of practical kind of thing of like finding a job and getting a job and these things. And then I did 3 years to get my master's degree in marketing. And during those 6 years, you know, I could have also read a shit ton of books, did a shit ton of online courses, and then, you know, work my way up, you know, in the company, and I would have probably been in the same place, you know. I don't know. I mean, I know there's studies as well that shows that if you have the degree, it's just a little bit quicker to get that money. And in some companies as well, they just expect you to have that degree in order to have that level, to be at this level, to have this level of income and stuff like that. But I'm just saying, if you don't want to be in a corporate environment, I don't know if just doing the masters and bachelors and stuff like that actually helps that much. And you can do a lot without a degree. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, totally. For me as well, like I had such a general education on uni, and on the one hand, it gave me an understanding of a bit of everything and how the world works and how business works. But, you know, to really understand a bit better, like, we had to basically learn on the job as well.
Yeah, it's like
corporate or in the business.
It's how I learn most of it, you know. It's not really through my degree and sitting in a classroom and listening. No. You know, okay, it gives you some global knowledge, but what happened the most was applying that knowledge in the internships I did and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And just keep on educating myself after the degree. And yeah, go on, Laura.
Yeah, speaking of, the next one is you don't have to use your degree. It's okay to change. And I think that's an important one as well.
Yeah. Again, personal experience, but so I have those bachelor in psychology, master's degrees in marketing. I, you know, spent 6 years learning. And I, after, I don't know, 5 years after that, I was like, fuck it. I don't want to be in marketing anymore. I was kind of fed up with marketing because I was like in a industry that I didn't like. It was automotive. So basically autos and cars and trucks and stuff like that, and it was a bit boring, and all the jobs I could find was there, because once you have the experience in one area, you know, you just find the only jobs in that area. And I was like, I can't deal with this anymore, and I decided to be a fitness coach. So I passed another degree, because you can't actually be a fitness coach in England without a degree, and it's a small one. It's like a online course, and I did it in 3 months, and it was online and it was easy. But yeah, I decided to be a personal trainer, and then did that for a year, and then realized it was not my thing either, and went back to marketing because I enjoy marketing more. But yeah, it's just to show you that, you know, you don't have to use your degree, because I know the pressure. And I mean, probably if you're in America, in the States, it's probably even worse, because it costs so much money, right, to go to uni and stuff like that. So you probably feel like, shit, you know, I really need to make it work. But really, you could make more money, and you can change, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, no, that's true. The one thing, and obviously we're not talking to people that are entrepreneurs or want to be entrepreneurs and stuff like that. Keep in mind, obviously, if you go more the corporate path, things might look differently. But at the end of the day, yeah, your degree doesn't really... Yeah,
no, I think, like, you know, it's like we have some IBA students, so IBA Online Academy, that says literally they feel like they have a marketing university degree.
Yeah.
Like they literally say, I feel like I've got a master's degrees after watching our 12 weeks course. You know what I mean? It's sometimes you, because the information is so condensed and so dedicated to a certain thing, it's really, you know, practical. It's like, hey, we're going to help you build a service business with Instagram, and we're going to show you exactly how to do this. And we're going to teach you marketing at the same time, because you have to learn about marketing, but in a very practical way that you have the knowledge and you will know how to apply it. And it's much more condensed. It's only 3 months. You didn't have to spend 5 years. Sometimes it's also about finding that course or that YouTube video or like whatever that's going to sum it up and going to make things much easier for you. And it doesn't mean you have to spend 5 years in a classroom. I don't know how the system works in the US or and stuff, but I mean, in England and in France, and I don't even know if in England, I think in England it's 4 years after.
Depends what you do, I think.
But it's a lot of things. I don't know. Like, I know in France, like a master's degree is 5 years after high school. So after you're 18, basically. So it's from 18 to 20.
Yeah. Yeah, it depends. I think most bachelor's are 3 years, and then a master's is between 1 to 2 years, depending on what it is. To my knowledge, obviously. And then you have different kind of masters that are like masters after masters, or things like an MBA that is usually after even working experience and stuff like that.
Like what you're hearing so far? Make sure you never miss an episode by subscribing to our podcast. We really appreciate your support. Now back to the show. Yeah, anyway.
So lots of studying, but I can assure you lots of applying gets you a lot further.
Okay, then the next one is saving money by not buying your weekly coffee won't make you rich.
What did you mean by that? Because, like, FYI, Jeannie made this list, so I'm still like getting to know all of this.
Like, what the fuck did you?
I'm just listening basically to Jeannie. I'm like, what did she want to talk about? Like, this is shows how
no, but you know
like,
how
oh, I have a list with 10 things. Let's talk about them. And I'm like, what does she mean with that?
So, you know how a lot of people are literally telling you, oh, you know, you want to make $100,000 or save $100,000 to buy a house, Well, you know, start by saving your Starbucks coffee every day. If you don't buy your Starbucks coffee every day, which is $6, and then times 365 days, you would have saved that much, you know. And I'm like,
which is coming from a scarcity mindset that you don't make more money, but that you stay at the same income level and you have to redistribute your income into smarter ways to make more.
It's, I think, yeah, it's that definitely. And it's like, I listened to this for many, many years. I wanted to make money. I'm very money driven. And I was like, yeah, I want to know how to save $100,000. So I started to look at these things, and I could always hear people saying, yeah, but you know, don't buy this, don't buy that, which I know we said don't buy dumb shit on Instagram, but it's different. It's like, don't buy
this. Don't buy silicone stickers for your face. Like that's yeah.
Maybe that you can save the money on, but it's not like in the sense of, hey, if you don't buy this, you'll be able to have more money to do what you want. It was more like, okay, if you don't buy this, you can actually use that money to invest in yourself. What I mean by saving, you know, if you save your daily coffee, it's not going to make you rich. I mean, you might save a little bit of money, but that's pretty much it. You have better ways to make yourself rich if that's what you want. You know, if it's about, you know, making more money, or, you know, finding a way to be financially free, saving your daily coffee is not the way forward. That's basically that. There's all the ways, much quicker ways, to save $100,000, or to make as simple as that $100,000.
And it's actually on this topic, okay, it's not coffee related at all, but Jeannie and I actually, in our first year of business, we obviously suddenly start making a lot more money than what we were used to. And our environment was telling us, okay, put that money aside and immediately invest it into something that brings you money, or whether that's in real estate, whether that's, I don't know, banking, stock exchange, like shares, bonds, whatever, because it's really coming from the scarcity mindset of like, our environment was still a bit like, yeah, yeah, but you made, let's say, 10,000 euros this month, but who knows if you can do that again next month.
Yeah,
you put it aside and put it in savings. And like, it's like our environment was all the time pushing us to kind of keep playing small and be like, don't change your lifestyle. And I get where that's coming from, because if you earn more money and you spend more money, of course, you're not going to be able to save much and create long-term wealth. I'm fully aware of that. But what I do think is super important here, and this is what Jeannie and I did, is that as soon as we start making, obviously, I'm not talking about the first few months. In the beginning, you're still in full of disbelief and you're saving every penny, or maybe you're buying yourself something small. But then, you know, as we start getting used to making at least 10 grand a month, we started being like, well, you know what? We're working so hard. I also want to enjoy my freaking life. I want to go travel somewhere and I know that costs money, or I want to buy this nice car because, you know what, I drive a car every day and I would like to have this thing that I can look at and be like, you know, I did this and this is what motivates me. And for us, in any case, and I know this is super personal, it depends also what you're like, but it was also a moment of like realizing like, this is possible. I can attract money and you know, like having this sort of abundance mindset of knowing I'm going to make more and I have this lifestyle, but I can pay for it. And I know I can still create long-term wealth on top of that as well. And I think that's been such an important shift that Bojini and I had, that, by the way, our environment did not understand at all, but mm-hmm. that really kept us motivated to work harder, to make more money, to create more things, to, you know, keep going when it gets difficult. And yeah, again, that's personal, but I do think every now and then it's important to like feel the money that you're making as well, because you can get demotivated. It is very difficult to build that business in the beginning. And if you feel like you're, you know, pouring your heart out and you're saving every single penny because you're coming from the scarcity mindset of I'm never going to make more, this is it, I better be smart with it, then I can assure you, most probably you might start downplaying everything yourself with that wrong mindset, and you are not going to scale your business to the next level. So yeah, that's something.
I think it's a lot. It's a thing. I've seen a lot of entrepreneurs sharing is that, you know, live the lifestyle that you want to live, especially in your first year, because it's going to make you want to keep going and want more and stuff like that. And I find it so relatable because yeah, that's that. It's like, okay, now I've created the lifestyle I want. I need to keep it up, you know, no fucking way. I'm going back to where I was, you know, I need to make it work. And I know that it does scare my family. You know, my brother was like, are you sure you can afford this? You know, because I do pay for my family. You know, we do that pretty much every summer and every winter now, where I rent a big house and I just invite everyone, and you know, it's something we've never been able to do, and I can do it. And those houses cost money, and he's always like, are you sure you can afford it? Like, it's crazy. And like, you sure you can't put your money on the side? Why don't you invest in real estate and stuff? And by the way, investing in real estate, unless I pay it cash, I can't even do it because you need 3 years of books. So I wanted to, I tried, but it was either I pay cash or, you know, I had to wait. So yeah, you know what I mean? At some point I was like, you know what, I'm just going to enjoy the money and you know, more will come and then I will invest, but I also want to enjoy my life, you know? All right. Then the next one is create content, whatever the format, whatever the platform. Creating content on, you know, it could be Instagram, could be TikTok, could be LinkedIn. I know for you, Logda, it was
Logda.
It was reaching Laura on LinkedIn, you know.
Logda. I'm also gonna find you some nicknames.
I know for you, Laura, it was LinkedIn. I first got into the whole world of content creation years ago, probably 10 years ago with Twitter. Like, for me, I was fascinated by Twitter and I started to understand. I was like, you know, people are like, yeah, you have to have a blog or you have to create on social media, and do you really get it? So, you know, I was starting to read about it and I started to create my Twitter account and I didn't really get what I was doing. And I was just, you know, resharing tweets and stuff like that. One went kind of viral and I was like, oh my God, what do I do with that now? It's like, scary, you know. But yeah, I think just creating content is always going to help you, whatever is it that you want to do. If you want to get a better job, creating content is just, hey, you know, I'm creating content, I'm good at what I, you know, my job is. So if you're an accountant and you're sharing content about accounting, people are gonna be like, yeah, actually that person knows this shit, and you know, they might hire you and give you a better pay for it. You know, it's going to be easier right away. And if you want to be a content creator or an influencer, or whatever, obviously creating content. But if you want to be a business owner, that's how you find clients. And that's the more followers you have, we're not going to lie, you know, the more followers you have, it's also helping you to charge more because you have some sort of social proof, right? So yeah, I think creating content is always going to be useful in some ways. So yeah, that's what I meant by that.
No, it makes a lot of sense. And to actually jump in on that, I'm literally the living example that everything I've done so far is thanks to my content. Like, my jobs, like in corporate, I got them because of my LinkedIn, but not because of my LinkedIn and my degree, as in my LinkedIn. I made these little videos. They were called Coffee with Laura. I would film myself 1 minute with a cup of tea because I don't drink coffee, but I thought coffee break with Laura, I don't know, I felt like it sounded well. And I would just show up and I would talk about whatever I learned that day. And I would just show up and go on LinkedIn. Hey, hi, everyone. Coffee with Laura here. I started with a 30-day consistency challenge. So every single day I was with a cup of coffee, 1 minute talking to the phone, and I was sharing whatever I learned. Like, literally, my lessons are probably a joke if I would look back to them now, because it was like, yeah, stop saying sorry. If you apologize every time you say something, you undermine your own, like, you know, sort of authority. And like these kind of little things that either I heard on a podcast or someone told me or whatever, like something that I learned as like a 20-year-old young graduate. And yeah, it's because of that that I first landed, like, well, this was during startup time, but that I landed my job as a brand manager for Carlsberg, which was a job that, you know, in a way I was 10 years younger than the people who normally do that job. And the only reason for that was because I built myself a personal brand online. And I think really going back to a personal brand is literally, and this is kind of what we can relate to building content, and you can do it outside a personal brand, of course, as well. But at the end of the day, your personal brand is always going to be you. It's however, you know, whether you change niches, like, I mean, I was talking about coffee, you know, did a coffee break video before, now I talk about Instagram. So obviously I've evolved, but that personal brand is still there, and that's still something that people relate to. Your personality is still there, whether or not people want to follow along, that's still there. So yeah, I think keeping in mind that the biggest valuable thing that you can have that no one can take away from you is your personal brand, and realizing that whether you're in corporate or you're an entrepreneur is really, really important.
Because I think
I was just gonna say, like, even if tomorrow for some reason, I don't know, shit hit the fan and else synergy, if we have some issue or whatever, Jeannie and I still have a personal brand. And that in itself gives, I know in any case for me, gives that sort of stability feeling of like, I know I've built something that is literally linked to my person. So if for some reason this business wouldn't work, and thank God L Synergy is working and growing really well, but know that as well, when you start your business, like your personal brand is still going to be there, and it's something that no one can take away from you.
Yeah, I think, I don't remember where I learned that from, but yeah, basically just consider yourself as a brand, you know, and whatever you want to achieve in life, really, literally whatever, whether it's finding love or making money or finding a job, just consider yourself as a brand and act, you know, like if you were a brand. And what is it that you would do if you were a brand to, you know, influence people or, you know, make people fall in love with you or something like that, you know? So it's really like think as yourself as a personal brand, as a brand, and it's going to help you move forward.
Okay, the last one. This is a long episode, guys. We have a lot of life lessons to share. Don't quit no matter what. Best case scenario, you'll make it happen. Worst case scenario, you'll learn a lot. Okay, I think I understand that one. No, but it's there's this quote that I actually really held on to a lot when I just started my business. And it says, if you don't stop, you can't fail. And I think that's such an important one that, you know, really aligns with this, is that if you start your business and let's say you have a failed launch, if you stop, yes, it was a failure. If you keep going, you learned from that failure, and you probably have a successful business down the line anyway, if you keep going and keep reiterating and all of that. And this is something that we share a lot inside IBA as well, is that any successful business that you're looking at today is literally failed iterations. And you know, like it's failure, iteration. That's a successful business. It's not like, whoops, overnight success, and it just keeps growing without ever changing anything, and that's it. No, Jeannie and I feel like we have to reinvent ourselves all the freaking time. We sometimes feel like we failed at something, or we made a mistake and stuff like that. But you know what? We learn from it, we fix it, and then we change and we adapt and we keep going. And that's how you indeed in the end become quote unquote successful. So yeah, knowing that as well when you start your business is really important, because it's also going to help you realize that there is no such thing as failure. Failure is only there when you actually decide to then indeed stop and look at it as a failure. Otherwise, it was never a failure. It was just a lesson.
Yeah, really can only agree with that. And, you know, you might look like, oh, but, you know, you build your business so fast and you're super successful. But we do have a whole episode on the biggest failures and everything we learn from it and stuff like that. Like on the front scene, you'd be like, yeah, we are successful and we made it happen quite fast and so on. But also, we had so many failures, like on a daily basis, you know? So, you know, like 100%, everyone you see that is successful today has failed multiple times before. So yeah, just don't let it stop you really. And I think, you know, I have a lot of people sometimes coming to me and being like, how do I stop comparing myself to others? And that's something I can relate to a lot, because I'm someone who would be like, I'm competitive as well. So I want to be the best one. I want to be like the most successful one or whatever. And then when you see someone who's more successful than you, you're like, oh, but you know, shit, that person's more successful. And then you have your heart racing and you feel a bit like shit. And you're like, no, I'm never going to be that way. Why? I don't have the same result. I started at the same time. You know, I had that as well at first. I was like, oh, I started at the same time as this person and she has 10,000 followers, I only have 2,000. Why? And I feel like shit and stuff like that. Imagine if I had quit back then, you know? So stop comparing yourself, only just trying to be the best version of yourself and so on. And also just seeing those people make it is just a proof that you can do it as well. And you know, all your competitors, it's just like, damn, actually, you know, I can make this happen. It's possible. If she did it or if he did it, I can do it too.
Yeah. No, 100%. And I know for a fact that Jeannie and myself, we actually did start things in the past, projects. I mean, I'm talking pre-L Synergy, pre this whole business that we have today. We had projects that we wanted to start, like we had startup ideas, we had little projects that we wanted to start, and we would always quit. And none of these things ever happened. And I still wonder sometimes, like, you know, I started literally blogging when I was 13, 14 years old. This was like the golden times of blogging. And I was already out there doing photography, doing blogging. I even got invited to blogger events in Belgium. Like, yeah. I was actually knowing people that I know from back then are now famous, you know, and to give you a sense of, if I would not have quit back then, I would probably be way further already in life. And I have no regrets because, you know, I'm here and I'm super grateful for where we're at. But just to tell you, like, even Jeannie and myself, you might look at us now and be like, easy for you guys to say, oh, believe us, we have quit multiple times projects before. I think now, and like I said before, it took a global pandemic. We were like, okay, this time we're actually going for this one. We're not giving up and we keep going. And, you know, for us, it also helped that we had each other to kind of give each other a little kick under the butts to be like, okay, keep going, you can do this, which sometimes obviously helps as well to have like a little cheerleader by your side. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we have quit projects before and those actually feel like failures, but the ones that we kept going with, those are the ones that we look back on. And I mean, like this one right now, our business, yes, yeah. that is quote unquote a success then, right?
So I mean, it's so true. Like I started, you know, Instagram multiple times. I started Instagram at the very early beginnings of Instagram. Imagine if I didn't quit. I mean, it would have taken me longer because I couldn't be bothered or whatever, but if I hadn't quit, I probably would have, you know, much more followers and maybe I would have had a much more successful business much quicker or whatever. But yeah, just don't quit, as simple as that. Just make it happen if you want it bad enough. I often say that I make it happen because I wanted it bad enough, you know. I was like, okay, yeah. I'm 31 years old, I mean 30 when I well, it's not 31. 31 when I created my Instagram, I was like, I want kids, but I don't want kids working a 9-to-5 because I was like, I'm not going to have a life. I don't want that. I'd rather not have kids than having kids working a 9-to-5. So I was like, if I have to have a business, I need to make it happen, you know, before I have kids, because then once you have kids, it's obviously, you know, it can be a little bit trickier to find the time to work on it. So I was like, now is the time or never, you know? So it was a lot of things. It was me being fired a year before. It was a furlough. It was me turning 31 and being like, fuck, you know? Like, I'm going to have to have kids soon because, you know, obviously I'm getting older. And yeah, so yeah, just don't quit and make it happen. Believe in yourself. Know that you can do it. Yeah.
So yeah, hope you enjoyed this podcast. I feel like we are like sending some cliches your way as well, believing yourself and all of that, but we really mean it. Like these are the things that are important. And when you feel like you need a little kick in their butt, maybe re-listen to this podcast and just get some good vibes and motivation out of it. Because honestly, you will thank yourself a year, 2 years, 3 years from now that you just kept going. And yeah, it's so important.
I mean, I'm so grateful for the me from 2 years ago, just didn't quit and
yeah, same.
And just made it happen. Like you have no idea, my life just is completely different.
It's exactly less. 2 years for both of us, yeah. By the way. Like it's crazy to think that 2 years ago we were just.
I signed my first client 2 years ago.
I started my beta coaching in May 2020. Yeah. So yeah, that was 2 years ago. So it's so insane.
And I mean, like now we can. I mean, obviously money is amazing. And obviously, you know, that I'm money driven and Laura is too. And if you're not, it's fine. And if you are, you know that you can make it happen. But more than even the money for me, it's like, I can wake up like this, you know, I don't have the Sunday night feeling anymore. You know, it's like Sunday night, it's like, yeah, whatever. It's any other day. I don't even realize we're on the weekend sometimes.
I have the same. I just don't know which day we are. Sometimes it's a Wednesday and I'm like, oh, it's Friday. And I'm like, oh no, it's Wednesday.
It's like I don't care because I can take a day off whenever I want to, and you know the business we created allowed us to do that as well, meaning that we finally came to a point now after 2 years. Obviously it took some time, but now we can actually work probably 2 days a week and do our to-do, and obviously there's always projects on the side that we can pick up on and stuff like that, but really we can make good money and working 2 days a week. So you know, being able to do that. I was saying, like, I was actually talking about this with my boyfriend because my boyfriend has his plumbing business. It's been over 6 or 7 years now. So it's been a while. It took him longer to get there. But it's like, yeah, cool. We have money, but also we can spend that money. We have the time to spend that money, you know? Yeah. We were able to go on holidays often and take long weekends and stuff like that because there's a lot of people who make a lot of money but work extremely hard. And don't have the time to just spend that money and use that money and enjoy the perks of having the money, you know? It's like, yes. So yeah, know that you can do it. Like if you get inspired from, you know, what we do and how we, you know, what we have achieved, know that you can make it happen. And I know it sounds so silly. It's like, yeah, I did it, you can do it too, but honestly, you can. Like,
it's not like, no, but really, like, really, you can.
It's not like I'm different than you. Like, again, you know, I told you my degree didn't really bring me much. You know, I learned much, much, much more from my experience working with people and from reading books, taking online courses, these kind of things, than actually from my degree. So my degree doesn't mean that much.
I agree. Awesome. Well, anyway, so let's end it with you can do this too, for real. And yeah, we hope you enjoyed this podcast episode. If you did, please don't hesitate to leave us a
comment. Forgot to mention, in case you don't know, we are increasing the price of IBA at the end of the month on the 26th of May. So this podcast is probably going to be released a little bit earlier than that. So if you were interested, make sure to check it out. We'll have a link in the description to check it out. And if you have any questions about IBA or something else, you can DM us as well on Instagram.
Definitely. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. We'll see you in the next one.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode.
If you're enjoying our podcast, please leave us a rating or simply tell a friend about the Health Energy podcast. That will help us out massively.
We'll see you in the next episode. Bye.